Nice to see you all tonight.
I'll be quick. I only got 10 minutes, so.
Not only is heaven interested, we are too. And if you're here tonight, whether you realize it or not, I feel like you must be interested slightly. That's a good thing. And I'll preface what I'm thinking every time I come up here, and I've said this before, I don't know why salvation is so difficult when you're not saved. I remember being in that spot growing up, hearing it hundreds and thousands of times. Thousands of times I heard the gospel. When I got saved, it is as simple as 1 + 1 = 2. And you say, ha, can't be. I've tried to get saved. I was at that point. Maybe you're here tonight and there's been a situation in your life where you came before God and you said, I want to be saved. I want this now. I'm not going to leave my bed. I'm not going to leave my room. I'm not going to leave this hall until I get salvation. You're not saved yet. When I was 14, a preacher came to our hall. This was back in Ontario. And he was going, he had a week of meetings on the end times. I was terrified. A 14-year-old boy with a very active imagination, and I imagined everything that was going on, and I wanted everything in me to be saved. I did not want to go to, I didn't want to be part of the tribulation. I didn't want to be part of what comes after that, and I certainly didn't want to be in hell. That night, I went home, cried my eyes out. I asked my mom, I want to be saved. How do I be saved? She read me verses. I had tracts. I was up in my bed, on my bed, till I think 2 in the morning. Eventually, it's just, I got to go to sleep. I'm not going to get this. 2 years later, I was 16, and I want to be saved. I stayed after meeting, talked with the elders, people praying. And I told the one elder that was talking to me, I said, Russ, we may as well go home. I'm just counting tiles on the floor, not really paying attention to what you said. That moment in my life at 16 years old, with all reverence before God, I said, if I'm getting saved, that's on you, not on me. I've wanted to be saved twice now, as hard, I guess you could say, as I could possibly want to be saved, and I'm not saved. 2 years later, maybe a year and a half, I don't know, 17, I think. I got saved. And when I got saved, it was so simple. I wasn't even in a gospel meeting. I was laying in bed. And I got saved. So that's what's always on my mind. How do you believe? Because everybody says, oh, you just got to believe. And then you can believe it. You can believe something. Like if I told you, hey, that door, you got to push it to go out. You're like, oh, okay, nice. Push it, you go out. You believed it. But when it comes to salvation and somebody says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, so I know that, not saved. I'm going to try and tell you, maybe explain it. So my little reading, Acts chapter 16. If you got a Bible, Acts chapter 16. This is about Paul and Silas. And start at verse 23. And when they had laid many, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, and the way I read that, he realizes they're very important, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. There's no way they're getting out of here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, which I find very interesting, that in that dark prison, he knew that that jailer was going to kill himself. Cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light. This is the jailer and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In these three little verses, think about the jailer. This guy obviously has a decent role. He's the one in charge of the prison. He also has a lot on his shoulders, because if they get out back in the days, you let someone go or somebody escapes, you're dead. You're getting killed. And he was about to do that. He's not going to let... He saw that the doors were open. He figured everybody left. There's no hope for me. I'm going to kill myself. Are you at the point where you feel there's no hope for you? Like, do you realize that you're a sinner? I mean, if you don't, you should probably figure that out. You are. That's not a bad thing. That's just what the Bible says. And if you say, "Yes, I am a sinner," that's great news. That's perfect. That's right where you need to be to get salvation. I'm a sinner, but I'm saved. I have believed that Jesus Christ died for me. We're all sinners here. You don't stop sinning. You can't. We're imperfect beings. But the difference is, some of us here believe that Jesus Christ died for me. That could be you tonight. If you're a sinner, perfect. Acknowledge that. Realize that. That's scenario here. This jailer knew he had a need right away. He's going to die. I need to get things right. He runs in. What must I do? Simple question. How do I get it? What do I do? What'd they say? Well, you better make it quick, because you're going to have to go over to, you're going to have to cross the Red Sea, pick up 20 gooseberries, bring it back, make a wine and drink it, and you're saved. Nonsense. You know what they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, again, this believe word, for most of us, it makes pretty simple. But say, I'm going to try and simplify this as much as possible. Say you came to me and you said, I'm going to use Michael. You said, "Hi, my name's Ian." You said, "Hi, my name's Michael." I said, "How much?" "How much what?" "Well, how much do I need to pay you to believe that your name's Michael?" You're like, you're crazy. Like, my name's just Michael. It doesn't take any money. Like, okay, well, what must I, like, what can I do to believe that and then hopefully keep believing that? See, you're nuts. My name's Michael. What else do you want? Well, maybe, like, where does Michael come from? Oh, my goodness. You'd probably walk away. Maybe you could show me your birth certificate. If it came down to that, you could show me your birth certificate. Do you get the point? For me to ask, how much can I pay to believe your name is such and such, or what can I do, or how do you do it? It's ridiculous. That's the simplicity of the gospel. God says in his word, and Paul and Silas tell this jailer, what must I do? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you're asking, what must I do? God is saying, believe me. That's it. I have sent my son. He's already done the work. We've heard about that tonight. Jesus went to the cross. He died. Those two thieves were on the cross. That's two out of many witnesses. One went to heaven. One, we read, more than likely went to hell. They believed him. They were there. That centurion, he saw him on the cross. You could go back in the articles of history and read that this was a true account, that Jesus Christ was a man and he died on a cross, and 3 days later he rose again. You've all heard of Jesus' tomb. This is all true. This is real. This isn't a message. I'll be honest with you. I have a lot on the go, have a kid, and coming up here, we're 45 minutes from home. A lot of times it's a lot more convenient to be home, to be done at a morning meeting and go home. But it's an awesome privilege to be up here tonight. It is also kind of scary to be in front of you all. But you know what else? On that note, there's coming a day, whether you die or the Lord comes, you're not going to stay. It won't be a situation where you're standing in front of a couple 60 people. You're standing before God. And he'll say to you, remember that time, the end of March, where you were sitting in gospel meeting and you heard that I had provided the way. You heard that Jesus, my son, went to Calvary to die for your sins, and you heard that all you need to do is believe it. You heard that Paul and Silas told that jailer a long time ago, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you didn't? It's not going to be on God that you didn't believe. Another thing I was thinking of, we cannot hold God accountable for anything. God is perfect. He created us. You cannot hold him accountable for. I can, and anybody here that is saved, can hold God accountable for one thing. Your soul. If you are saved tonight, you have every right. When you die and stand before God, or if the Lord comes, if you are not in heaven, you have every right to question God. Why am I not in heaven? I believed what you said. You're not holding up your promise. I'll tell you tonight, that will not happen. God cannot lie. His promise is true. His promise never changes. 2,000 years ago, give or take, Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas. He was whipped. He was spit upon. This is the Holy Son of God. Someone who came to earth from the realms of glory, had it way better than we can ever imagine. And he decided, you know what? I will go pay for their sins. I can be not nice sometimes. And I can tell you right now, if you did something to me and I feel hurt by it or you stole from me, very, very small chance that I'm going to be your friend, let alone go die for you. Jesus Christ knew everything. He's the Son of God. Knew everything. Knew how much people would hate him. Despite all his miracles, all his love, compassion, healing, he knew these people would hate him at the very end. And yet when he's on that cross, hanging there as a spectacle before everybody, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now tonight, it's a simple, simple call, a gift, an entreatment to just believe. And if you struggle with that, if you say, oh man, I get that. I get that it's a struggle. It really is. It's a struggle to explain it because it is so simple. It is so simple. And if you're not getting it tonight here, that's okay. But I challenge you. I challenge you tonight, if you really want to be saved, if you don't get it now, in your car, in your seat, right now, wherever, ask God, show me. I did that. I wanted to be saved and I was in my bed, had my Bible over there, laying, pick up my Bible, and I flipped it open to John 3 and 36. Again, he that believeth on the Son has eternal life. God's promise. I said, is that? And I, in my brain, in my thoughts, prayed to God. Is it that simple? Looked at the verse again. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God's promise to you tonight. It hasn't changed. If it does change, well, that sucks because I don't want to get saved again. But you know what? It never will. God's promise remains true. So tonight, that's it. I went really fast. I hope that's simple enough. It really, really is that simple. And if you're trying to make it harder, stop. It's just a rest. Just, okay, God, fine. Here you go. I can't do anything else, and it's all on you. Take it all. And he says, I will. I have. I got you. We'll pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you above all and most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid for my sin, and that he paid for the sins of this world, and for everyone in this meeting tonight, especially those that aren't saved. Pray specifically that you would work in the hearts of any that aren't saved here tonight that want this. Help them to understand how simple the gospel is, that Jesus Christ died for me. That you believe it is just that simple. Father, ask for help to just, if there's any help needed after the meeting, we just pray for your guidance. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work tonight. Just pray, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.